greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy and perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day.
Not only is it a happy day in the natural here on earth when somebody comes before the Lord, somebody repents, the blood of Jesus washes away their sin, but my Bible tells me that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. It's a happy day, not only here on the earth, but in the portals of glory in the heavens. The angels rejoice. Woo! Ha. I want to rejoice with the choir of angels. I want to lift my voice in praise with the heavenlies. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so happy to serve you, Lord. I find such joy in you, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. I thank you, Jesus. I'm here to worship you, to magnify you, Jesus. It's amazing how uplifted I become when I lift up Jesus. It's amazing how that I can be in a bad mood or depressed or anxious. I can have a lot of troubles. But when I come into the presence of the Lord and I begin to magnify Jesus, all of a sudden He becomes a lot bigger and my problems become a lot smaller.
Thank you, Jesus.
And things get back in right perspective and I realize, Lord, You still have the whole world in Your hands. You still know what You're doing. I am but a willing vessel in Your service. And it's a joy to serve You. Can you lift your hands one more time? Can you lift your voice? How we love You, Jesus. How we praise You, Jesus. How we magnify Your precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, God.
Thank You, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I thank you. My family thanks you for many of the texts and the messages that we got, and condolences that were given to my family. And many of you know my grandmother passed away on Monday earlier in the week, and I was in Arkansas at the time, and then arrangements were being made, and I made it back from Arkansas on Thursday, and then my family came in, my father, mother, and sister came in, drove up from Florida beginning Thursday, got here on Friday, and then yesterday we went to Wisconsin, traveled to Wisconsin, and there had the memorial service for my grandmother. And it was a great time. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. She was a wonderful, God-fearing woman who left a wonderful legacy. The life that she lived, a full 96 years of age, and everybody that spoke, and you could just feel such love, the presence of God, such peace, and everybody dealing with the loss. And yes, there's always that sense of loss, but there's such a comfort, there's such a security in knowing that one day, I never have to say a goodbye again, never have to weep, tears shall be no more. And I'm thankful, the great matriarch of faith that my grandmother was. And I'm privileged on both sides of my family, have wonderful, God-fearing people who have raised and nurtured me and helped me and lead me. I realize that I am today, and this is no thumbing of my lapels, I understand that I stand on the great foundation, my forefathers and grandmothers who are great in the faith, and I appreciate the great heritage that I have. It's also an honor and privilege to have my father. My mother's not feeling well this morning. She's not able to come. And but my father and my sister here in service with us this morning, such a delight to have them make the trip north. And when they left Florida, it was somewhere, around 80 degrees. And they got here and the wind chill was in the teens. And so it was a little bit different. And numerous times over the last couple of days, they're like, I don't know how you do it. But we're so thankful. And this afternoon, as many of you know, we're all making a motor train and headed back to Florida for the holidays. And so we ask that your prayers be upon my family. There will be service here tonight at 6:30. Brother Tom Krecker is going to be ministering in that service tonight. Looking forward to that. And then there will be no midweek service this week. So I want to make sure you're aware of that. This coming Wednesday night, we normally have a Bible study from 7 to 8, but there will be no midweek service tonight in lieu of the holidays. Many people will be traveling. But there are other, on the 27th, which is a week from this Sunday, evangelist Rima Duncan and family will be in service with us. Looking forward to that. And then on the 3rd, Brother and Sister Davis, former pastor of this church and former First Lady, will be here ministering. And so you're going to get to hear a lot of different voices. So I hope, and I understand they're going to do a wonderful job, but I hope when Pastor comes back that you're ready to hear Pastor. I, I was kind of expecting more applause than that. I may stay longer. I'm kidding. I appreciate you, your faithfulness, and your many compliments and the work of the Lord. And so good to have Michelle and Colin back in service. God bless you. Thank you so much. It's a compliment to come the first time, but when you come back again, thank you so much. God bless you for being in service with us. It's a great honor to have my mentor in the ministry. He doesn't even know this. I didn't say anything to him, but numerous times yesterday, though it was my mother's side of the family, and though all those in the Midwest refer to him as Kenny, even though that's not his name. His name's Kenneth, but they all refer to him as Kenny. And numerous times throughout the day, as I talked to different people, they said what a great man my father is, and I readily agreed with them. And they talked about how the family thought so highly of him, and I want you to know I very much respect this man. He is. Spoke into my life many times, and he can still speak into my life. He still has a license to correct me and put me on the right path, if you will. And so when I knew he was going to be here, I just said, well, you know what? I know I'm not going to be in the pulpit. Green, so it's not that. There we go. Back. Maybe it's just short. When I knew that they were going to be here in town, I said, man, I want to have. Sound systems are the greatest curse and the greatest blessing all in the same time. But we want him to come, and I want you to make him feel welcome. Why don't you stand to your feet? And I know you're not applauding him, you're applauding the Lord in his life, but why don't you make him feel welcome as we welcome here to the pulpit of First Apostolic Church.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. God bless you. You may be seated. I am happy to be here with you in worship this morning. I don't want to sound unsympathetic, but my mother-in-law had been waiting for Monday to arrive for a long, long time. She had told us that I don't understand why God doesn't take me home. Well, Monday, she went to sleep and woke up in glory. The way I understand it, that's what it's all about. If I didn't believe that, it's time to shut the lights out, lock the door, and don't even come back here. So, Mom Hughes, thank you for blazing a trail ahead of us, and I want to stay on that trail till Jesus calls me home. I know that you would probably needed to hear your pastor this morning. But he's the bishop of this church, and even though I'm his dad, I submit to him. And he asked me to speak, so with God's help, I'll try to do my best. I like to use visuals. Let's see. Ah, thank you, Brother Mason. If this little thing doesn't work like I want it, I may just point at you and ask you to click it for me, okay? Before I get started, though, I'd like to say another thank you. As most of you know, 3 years ago, my son and his family, my great daughter-in-law and their children, they came here. I don't mind telling you, we felt a very, very huge sense of loss. Don't know that I'm over it. In fact, I just might as well be plain, and I ain't over it. Excuse the English. But there has been one thing through it all. Well, it's more than one thing, but probably the greatest of it all, because I, you know, we've watched how God has blessed and God has moved, and it's all about His family. But probably the greatest comfort to my wife and I, and we have talked about it much, and I've said it here, but it bears repeating again. The greatest comfort to us is the way that this church in Sandwich has embraced them, followed their ministry. I thank you for that. God thanks you for that. And regardless really of who it is that's pastoring here, let me just tell you this, you will never ever go wrong by honoring the ministry. My Bible says in Ephesians that the fivefold ministry is a gift from God to the church. Keep them as a gift. The Lord will bless you for it. Jesus, help us as we enter into your word this morning. I pray that you would use us for your glory and for your honor. We love this time of year, God. We are worshiping you and we're thinking about your advent. Now, God, may you anoint these words. May they touch us, I pray. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Could you revisit with me the Christmas story? Maybe I'll just be reminding you of some things this morning that you already know. But I would like to begin in Isaiah 7 and verse 14. I'm reading this from the New King James Version. It changes one word. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold," King James says, "behold a virgin." New King James says, "behold the virgin." I like that. Not changing the King James, but "the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." I like "the virgin" because that was the one and only virgin birth, miraculous conception. And there'll never ever be another one, because of who he was that was born among us. And I know looking in the slide behind me, you'll see on the top Emmanuel spelled with an E. And in the verbiage, you will find it with an I. Well, the E is the Greek spelling and the I is the Hebrew spelling. But notice that at the end of the name, the word, the E-L is the same in both of them. El is a contraction or a shortened form of the word Elohim. That is God's first revealed name among men. Where does it appear in the Bible? Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God. If you read it in the Hebrew, it says, "In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth." And when God anointed the prophet Isaiah to write down about who this baby was that was coming some 700 years later, he said to us that his name would be called Emmanuel. What Isaiah was telling us and the whole world was the one that would appear in a manger in Bethlehem was Elohim. He was the God that spoke it into existence. He was the God that formed man from the dust of the earth. It was Almighty God that had come in the form of a baby, a great mystery, but I'm glad I know who that God is. Oh, hallelujah. It's not a particle of God. It's not a part of the Godhead. It is the one and only Elohim, the one and only God that brought it to pass, and we worship him at his advent. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 1. And I like what God anointed Matthew to do here in his writing. Because he says, after the incident of the angel from heaven appearing to Joseph in a dream, It's so neat to me that the Lord dispatched an angel directly from glory. Because Joseph, being a just, a righteous man, he didn't know how he was going to deal with the fact that his betrothed was now expectant and he knew he wasn't the daddy. So the angel said, and catch this part. Maybe I'm kind of running off a rabbit trail here, but I hope I can get back where I want to begin. But the angel said, hey, Joseph, it's all right. Excuse the colloquial. Don't worry, Joseph. You take this girl and you marry her. For that which is born of her is of the Holy Ghost. And then he got down to the part and said, now, because you see, Joseph was the man of the house. And in their culture, it was the man that was responsible for giving the name. Said, now, don't call him Ralph. Don't call him Billy. Said, when it comes time to name the boy, call him Jesus. I don't think the angel got it wrong. And I know Joseph didn't get wrong, because he said what he was told to do. Because you see, and I don't want to take too much time, but this just really, really gets me, and I love it. Because God, a long time ago, had revealed who he was. He told Moses, when Moses said, well, who am I supposed to say sent me? And the Lord said, well, this is my name forever. Now, they may have called him Yahweh, Jehovah, we're not for certain. But the angel said, now, we want everybody to be sure when you name this baby boy that they know who he is. Now, the prophet already said he was Elohim, but his covenant name is Yahweh. And the baby that's born is Yahweh has become salvation, or Jehovah's Savior. That's the name Jesus. And what I really like about this is what they said. Because he said, you call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When God gave his first covenant name to Israel, when he called himself and told them his name was Yahweh, it was to do one thing. That was to deliver them from slavery. They were going down into Egypt and they were coming out because God was going to deliver them. Now we have the covenant name of Jesus, and it's a name for a purpose. And that is to deliver and to save men and women from their sin. I'm glad I could call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because I know it will save us from our sin. It will bring us out from bondage and whatever is holding us back. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, New King James again says, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And Matthew said, now just so you don't miss it, get it, which being translated, being interpreted, means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. The with can be translated. I really like this, and I'm just a simple person, but I kind of grab onto these words, and they just really help me. And the with can be translated like this. God, Almighty God, accompanying us. He's not God at a distance. He's not God way up in the heavens. Since Jesus came, and since he went away and sent back his spirit, it is God with us. It is God accompanying us. It is God in my everyday life. It is God in the good times. It's God in the low times. It's God in the in-between times. It's Emmanuel, God accompanying me wherever I am in my life. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Emmanuel, God with us, if you want to give it a title. All that God is, Again, I'm going to say it, not just a little bit, but all that God is became available to us through the incarnation. Now, I'm not throwing stones and I'm not making fun of anybody, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad that I understand the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. I have, and honest people and people that don't have that revelation have actually asked me, said, you know, sometimes I just don't know who to pray to. I never have a confusing thought about that, because I know when I pray to the Lord, when I say the name Jesus, I've got the fullness of the Godhead. I've got the fullness of the availability of everything that God is and God can ever be. Oh, I've got His attention and He's there to help me. It is God being available to us. Jesus is God accompanying us. The Lord said to Moses, I forgot to look at what time it was when I got started here. But when Moses asked the Lord, go back and read it in the book of Exodus, about the third chapter. He asked the Lord, he said, God, when I go down there, you told me to tell them that the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent to deliver you. But God, I know, I just know they're going to ask me, what is your name? Because you see, all the God, the Egyptian gods, who, you got to understand something. These folks had been in slavery for 430 some years. They'd been raised in bondage. That's all they knew was bondage. And now there's a God that's coming to deliver them and to set them free and to make them a nation and to build a covenant with them. And so Moses says, I know, God. I just know they're going to ask me, what is your name? Because Ra, the sun god, had a name. They had a name for the Nile River god. They had a name for the god of their crops and for thunder and for storm and for rain. He says, but God, I don't know what your name is. I just know you as God. So what's your name? He says, you go tell them, I am has sent you. I am that I am. He said, that's kind of funny. No. It's not strange when you really understand the revelation. What God is saying, I am whatever you need me to be. I am your hope. I am your help. I am your strength. I am your healing. I am your salvation. I am your deliverance. I am all these. You go down there and tell them, these folks that don't know anything about who the God of their fathers was, you go and tell them who I am. And let me tell you something. It was that God. That is everything that just gave you and I a blank check when we came to know Him. Because I don't know what my tomorrow holds. I know that we're headed out on the road this afternoon. And I am glad that my God is my protector. I'm glad that my God is my helper and my strength. And I can come to Him. I don't have to run to the sun god for some sunshine. I don't have to run to the rain god for some rain. I can just go to the God that is I am. And He's got everything that I have needed. And He came to us. That's Emmanuel. Hallelujah. I am whatever you need me to be. Here's the beautiful part. Emmanuel, God with us, means He's the answer to all our problems. Jesus confounded all the teachers of the law at the temple when He was just a 12-year-old boy. They were amazed. They just couldn't quite understand how such a young lad could know so much. But it's because they didn't know He was Emmanuel. You know, I thought about, excuse me for backing up just a moment, but I'm not a mom. I thank God that I've been father to two wonderful children. Oh, we had a flashback yesterday as we rode to Madison, Wisconsin, and back. It was my wife and I and my two children. We'd made that journey a number of times in our lifetime. Some good times. One thing that I noticed yesterday was that my wife did not have to referee any fights. Thank you, Jesus. You are a good God. But you moms that are here, when your baby was first put into your arms, I don't know if you physically did it or not, but I know a lot of moms that have. They counted every finger. They want to make sure all 10 were there. They counted every toe and made sure 2 eyes, 2 ears, everything was right. And Mary did the, I just kind of believe she did the same thing. When she held that baby for the first time, and she, and let me tell you something. He was as perfect as any human being could be, the sinless Christ. And when she held him in her arms, and the songwriter said, Mary, did you know? She didn't. She knew something about what his birth meant, but it came to her in revelation down the road, just who this baby that she had raised was. And at 12 years of old, they got a little bit, upset with Jesus because he stayed in the temple, and they were out on the journey a couple of days, and they didn't know he was there with them. He was back there astounding the guys. And you see, all of this happened was because they were human like you and I, and it's been a learning process for every one of us. When God delivered you and I from sin, we were so thankful and so happy at what he did, but we really didn't understand all that there was about him. We didn't really quite understand that he was the answer to all our problems. We had to grow into it. God had to grow in us, and as Jesus grew up, they began to understand, hey, he's the answer to everything you need. He confounded those men in the temple. He others that criticized him, he had answers for them. He had the miracle workings that he did in their lives. They came to know that whatever they needed, it was Jesus. That's Emmanuel. That's God with us. And I know I'm just hammering away at that same point, but I'd like for us to walk out of here today with a new vision and a new revelation that I don't have to be despondent. They tell me that Christmas time is some of the most discouraging time for some folks, because of loneliness, and I can understand that. But let me tell you something. Jesus can remedy the loneliness. Jesus can remedy the despondency. Jesus, because he's whatever we need. Emmanuel. Nicodemus, a learned man, member of the Sanhedrin court, came to Jesus at night because, oh, you're a good man, come from God. Oh, no, Nicodemus, I'm a whole lot more. Have you found that Jesus is a whole lot more than just a good man, that he's a good teacher? Have you found him to be the Savior? Have you found him to be the one that has answers readily available to whatever you got going on in your life? That's Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Well, I really don't quite know where I am in this. But let me just tell you this. The ministry of Jesus proved that he always had the answer. I like what I read in the scripture because it's a revelation of who Jesus was. The very first miracle that Jesus did, do you realize it was not a 911 emergency? The very first miracle of his ministry was because somebody was going to be embarrassed because he ran out of wine. But this God that is the I Am had the answer to it. Peter had needed some tax money. And Lord have mercy, come April 15th, I'm sure there's some of us that are doing the same thing. I've never yet caught a fish that had my tax to be paid thereby, but he can do it. Because whatever we need him to be, he proved that he was able to take care of whatever that need was. Because he's Emmanuel. A week or so ago, I was asked by a lady, and it was an honest-hearted question. She considers herself a Christian, and But she goes to a church that's got a different worldview, that's more open-minded, pluralistic in its thinking. And she asked me, because she knows I'm a preacher and a pastor, and she said, how can we know that the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Hindus, thank you, I have a tendency to froth at the mouth when I speak. The Buddhists, the Muslims, the Hindus, and other believers, how do we know that they're just not as right as we Christians? Because our worldview is that it's all right. Just as long as you believe in God, that's okay. But I didn't hesitate to answer her. And I said to her, I said, it really centers all around who Jesus said he was. Now, I don't want you to think I'm irreverent, because I'm not being that. But either Jesus knew exactly who he was, or he was a lunatic. I don't believe Buddha ever claimed to be God. Muhammad claimed that he was the prophet of God. But Jesus said, I am God. That makes the issue no longer gray. It's black and white. Either Jesus is who he said he was, or he's not. But I'm here to tell you, I believe he's exactly who he said he was. The way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to God but through him. Because he's Emmanuel. Flagstaff, Maine. You see, there's a road there, and at the end of it, a crumbled bunch of stones. That road used to run through a town called Flagstaff. You say, what town? I don't see any town. I see a lake. Yeah, because the state of Maine decided that it would create a dam. And it was told to the residents of Flagstaff back in the late 40s that their town would be flooded by the Dead River and they needed to leave. Well, the thing is this, in the months before the flooding, just when they got that word that the town was going to be flooded, all improvements and repairs in the whole town were stopped. What was the use of painting a house if it's going to be gone in 6 months? Why should I fix that shutter? Why should we clean up the streets? It's all going to be gone in a little while. Why repair anything? Because it's going to be flooded away. So week by week, even before there was the flood that came, this town and two others just deteriorated right before everybody's eyes. And there's a lesson in this. There's a reason that it all occurred that way. And the reason is, where there is no faith in the future, there's no power in the present. I've got a faith in the future, and I hope you do too. I may not know why everything that's happening is happening right now, but I've still got a faith in my future, and because I got a faith in where things are headed and where I'm going, I've got a hope in the right now. Hallelujah. You can't back me down. You can't stop me from shouting praises to God, because I got a hope that's steadfast and sure, and I know that God's going to take me from here to over there, and I don't have to worry. Because he's Emmanuel. He's Emmanuel. God with us. I'm coming to a close. Sister Carrie Letzinger, if you'll come back and join me, I'm going to ask her to play the keyboard. You see, God being Emmanuel with us, it helps us to celebrate more. Catch me now. Because I understand that he wasn't just a little baby in a manger, but that he was God accompanying us. It helps me to know that I'm not just celebrating a baby's birth, but I'm worshiping a God that was willing to leave the portals of glory to walk my roads and your paths. not to love me from a distance, but to gather me close. Because sometimes I need him to speak peace to me. There's times I need him to give me clarity of vision. There's times that I need him to be my healer, my helper. I just need him to be my God.
Yes.
And I find out that when he's Emmanuel, we celebrate his availability. We celebrate that he's an all-powerful, all-knowing God that's everywhere present. I can't go far enough to get away from him. I don't know your status this morning. I'm from over 900 miles away. But my God knows exactly what your address is today. And any answers that he would give you and I concerning where we are right answers. Because he's never been wrong and he's not going to be wrong with you or me. He's Emmanuel. And we celebrate. We celebrate his coming to be with us.
What hope we hold through solid night. A king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger.
You know this chorus, singer. Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Around the front. Let's take a few moments and thank God. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the gift you gave all of mankind. You manifested yourself in flesh and you came to be with us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
my favorite lines in all the Christmas carols, if you would call them. It's from the carol entitled, O Little Town of Bethlehem. But the verse says this, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, be near to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. As Dad was preaching, I got a title for a message that's going in the sermon garden. Seed that was planted that maybe next year on Christmas that you hear it, but already got a title. The title's going to be When In Is Better Than With. Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. See, he came to be with us so that he could be in us. And in the power of the Holy Ghost, guess what? That holy child of Bethlehem is born in me. In the power of the Holy Ghost, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm thankful that he's God with us, Emmanuel, God with us, but I'm also thankful that he's also God in me, in the power of the Holy Ghost. To wit, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. But guess what it also says? And ye are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Better stop, I'm gonna steal all my thunder for the message. I'm so thankful of the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I must go away, because if I don't go away, I can't come back again. The Bible said Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I believe that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost began to fall, the Bible says Mary was there. I believe that when Mary saw the power of the Holy Ghost fall on the day of Pentecost, those things that she pondered in her heart, she says, oh, now I know what it's all about. Now I know why I carried him and why he was birthed in me. Now I know. She saw Peter and John doing what her Jesus did. When she saw the other disciples laying hands on the sick and they recovered, ooh, she said, now I know.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the greatest gift that has ever been or ever will be given, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. One more time, can you lift your hands towards heaven? And you thank the Lord for his good word. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that with you I can, for with God all things are possible. With you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And brethren, what must we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. It is that name, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, Yeshua, Jehovah, or Yahweh has become salvation. Be baptized in that name for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the greatest gift that has ever been given. And we all have opportunity to readily receive through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We thank you. We magnify you as we go throughout this holiday season. As we open gifts and we see smiles and there's joy and happiness on the faces of little ones as they enjoy what's been given, let us remember that we get to enjoy the greatest gift ever given. Came wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger so that it could go and send the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Ghost for each and every one of you. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the greatest gift. I bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. If I don't get a chance to tell you personally, I want you to know we wish you the merriest of Christmases. Happy holidays. Happy New Year, all that wonderful stuff. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. Remember, service tonight at 6:30, Brother Tom Kreger ministering. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. Can you give him one more applause, one more hand clap of praise as you're dismissed this morning? God bless you.